Is it always possible to avoid an argument if you tell the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ? If you were sharing with other people what you know about Christian experience, and you're telling other people about God, do you think that it's any reflection on you if someone differs with you? Or if you were beginning to teach a Sunday school class and you found out that someone didn't want you to do it, do you think that means you're on the wrong road? Some of the answer to this will come to us. Just now we are studying in the book of Acts in the 18th chapter. And if you have your Bibles, you may open them at chapter 18 in the book of Acts. And I'm going to be reading at the 12th verse. Actually, at this point where we're reading here, the Apostle Paul is in Corinth, and he is preaching there. Although trouble developed, God told him in a special communication, in a vision, the Lord Jesus told him to stay there. He told him to stay in that city and preach, not to be a bit afraid of the confusion and of the contention, and not to be feeling that he needed to pull away because there was controversy, but he was to open his mouth and speak, and he was to tell the truth, because the Lord had many people in that city, and Paul was to preach that those people might hear the gospel and might come to God. With this being the case, let me ask you then, should we condemn a man because when he preaches, people start arguing? Should we, for instance, think that a person would be better off if he weren't preaching because there are people for him and against him? If you were to hear of a certain evangelist and someone was to say, "But I hear people talk against him," is that any reflection? They talked against Paul. Now, I know there is such a thing as being contentious. I don't want to cover up for that. And there's such a thing as being belligerent. I think I've met some people that just love to fight. They like nothing better than to get into a hard argument. And it seems to give them just pleasure when they differ with people. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. We have another word besides belligerent we use in this connection. We can say about a certain person that he is bellicose. And that means that he's just given over to fighting. He wants to fight all the time. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about holding for the truth and finding people in opposition to it. I can see a mother doing that in her home. I can see a mother quietly, gently, but firmly holding to certain things she thinks are right. I believe her children might often oppose her. Sometimes other members of the family might oppose her. Perhaps you know of just such things happening in your own family. You have certain members of the family want to do things in a certain way, and the only reason in the world they want to do it that way is because they think it would be agreeable to the Lord. You have other people in the family don't want to do that. They want the liberty to do differently. They want to spend their money on something that would please them. They want to do something that would build up the family name in one way or another. And so there was an argument, and there may even be difference of opinion. And some people will say, "Well, there you are, that's what religion will do. Religion divides people." Well, I expect in a certain sense it does. I expect it does. But should we, for that reason, not have it? I wonder if I could say something like this. Shall we say, even on one level, that education divides people? You send one person to school and the other person doesn't go to school and they become different. Would that be true? And this is far more profound than that. Perhaps you would say that medicine makes people different. Here's a whole number of people that are sick and one person takes medicine and gets well. He's different from the other sick people. Shall we not have medicine just because it makes of that? And I know you will say, "Well, but you don't have so much argument about it." Maybe not. But even so, you have differences. Now, in witnessing to the Lord Jesus Christ, there may be controversy. Because, you see, the people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they say that all men should obey God. There are many people that don't want to do that. Right away, you have a difference of opinion. They say that God is the judge of all the earth and that His will should be done and that every human being should do what God wants them to do. They all know it's true, but they don't want to do it. And that is the basis of and the source of so much of the discussion and of the argument. Now, in Paul's experience, this thing came to a climax in the 18th chapter. And I'm taking this time of setting it before you because I want you to see that a good man and a man who was led of the Lord, a man who was doing the things that the Lord Jesus wanted him to do, actually came into a situation where quarreling and contention and controversy were inevitable. It could not be stopped. And I want you to think about that in case there are people that criticize you for opening a Sunday school in a new area, if they criticize you for bringing an evangelist in and for having evangelistic services, if they criticize you for having a special Bible teaching series, or if they were to criticize you because you have a Bible teacher come to the church and have special Bible study series, services, and so on. If anybody criticizes you along that line, just you remember that that's the way they did with the Apostle Paul. Now we're in chapter 18, and we're going to start reading at verse 12, and you'll see the nature of this particular quarrel and conflict that developed. We read, "And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat." Now, you remember earlier in this chapter, Paul had come out from the synagogue. He had withdrew himself from the Jews and had taken himself over to be with the Gentiles. But the Jews knew about what was going on, and they resented Paul's activity in the community. And they made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. They brought him into court and indicted him as a disturber of the peace, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." You see, they were Jews. And as Jews, they were privileged to have their religion in their way. The Roman government would permit the Jews to have their religion, but they wouldn't permit anybody to teach anything. And the Jews brought Paul into court to try and show that he was not a real Jew, and that his preaching and teaching the gospel should be outlawed, because the Roman government gave permission to certain known forms of religion, but would forbid others. And that was the basis of the law, the technicality in the law, that they brought Paul in. They said, now Paul is teaching and preaching in the community as if he were a Jew, and he isn't a Jew. And they said he is persuading men to worship God contrary to the law, not according to our Jewish custom. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Paul would have defended himself, Gallio, who was the magistrate, said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or of wicked lewdness, a matter of immoral conduct or something of the nature, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters." And he drave them from the judgment seat, which is a rather awkward way of reporting that he declared that the court had no jurisdiction in this matter. It would be as if you brought a case up before the Supreme Court, and you'll read in the newspaper that the judges decided not to rule on it, which would be the way you'd report the fact that they came to the conclusion that they didn't have any authority at that point. And this man Gallio, this Roman deputy, he simply announced that he wasn't going to be involved in an argument over interpretation of matters of religion. And so he just drove them out. And then we read in verse 17, "Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat." And I've studied that some, and I can't tell you for sure that I know why they did it. I don't know whether they knew or not, because I'll tell you right now, when you get a riot going on, you get public trouble of that kind, it doesn't make so much difference. It just looks as though it was the Jews against the Greeks and the Greeks against the Jews. That's just about the way in which it was. And these Jews, they started in complaining against Paul, and of course the Greeks would all feel that Paul had been preaching to them. And when they started complaining against Paul and didn't get anywhere, then the Greeks turned around and got these Jewish leaders and beat them up, but nobody seemed to pay any attention. At the end of verse 17 it says, "Gallio cared for none of those things." But there's a lot of trouble, and a lot of contention, and a lot of controversy. But still it goes on. Now verse 18, "And Paul after this tarried there yet a good while." We don't know how long that would be. That might be for months. We don't know how long that was. "He tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in censure, for he had a vow." That was a strictly Jewish practice. And we're going to be seeing, and especially in the next lesson, in the next study, we're going to see how Paul conducted himself. Paul was not willing to be forced into permanent opposition to any one group of people. Now, you see, those people who were Jews would have been very glad to have brought up the issue of Jew versus Gentile and bring this up into the public life, because there was no reconciling that battle between the Jews and the Gentiles, because no matter what in the world would happen, the Jews would still be the Jews, and no matter what else would happen, the Gentiles would still be the Gentiles. And then if you were going to talk about them getting together when you were all through talking, when all was through, there'd still be Jews and there'd still be Gentiles. It is one of those problems that in the very nature of the case you couldn't really solve. And the Jews would have been very glad to tangle Paul up in that. And those who preach the gospel have to be very, very careful that they do not become involved on one side or the other of an insoluble argument, of an impossible controversy. If you raise a question or an issue of a sort for which there is no real answer, and you get involved in that sort of an argument, you can lose a lot of ground in dealing with people because you're lined up on one side or the other. There can be people who can wonder whether or not, for instance, there ought to be whether or not women should drive automobiles in public. And other people will say that only men should drive automobiles in public. Some people will say both. Well, you know, if you were having a big argument as to whether only men should drive or both men and women should drive, that's not the kind of an argument a preacher should get into. I don't know whether anybody should get into it, but I know a preacher shouldn't get into it. Because that's something, when you're all through talking, you still got men and women. And just because you do have that difference between the two, you could build up an argument on that you'd never solve. And so far as this is concerned, between Jew and Gentile, it's that kind of a business. And Paul was to get out of that if he possibly could. And we're going to see in the next study how he did it. Our God and Heavenly Father, give us wisdom, give us patience in our dealing with other people. Help us to conduct ourselves wisely so that when we preach and teach the gospel, we may have an open door for it. For thy name's sake, we ask it. Amen.